morning.
Good choice.
Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this opportunity to gather together this morning to learn more about your word, just to be together for their fellowship. Lord, I just ask you to bless all of those that are on their way, get them here safely, Lord.
Yes.
I ask you to just lead Bob and through him share with us what you need for us to know, Lord. We just give you all the praise, glory, in your blessed name.
Amen. Amen. Thank you very much, Beth. All right, you can get your plate, Ed. You can eat and work. I don't allow Fred to do that, but you can. How's everybody this morning?
Good.
We just got done with a series, Pastor Don, 4 weeks on memorizing the word, right? Was it a good class? Did it help everybody? Those are... Well, you know, there's always those that we can't help, Kenny, you know. Lord said there was always be those among us that we can't help. Yeah, yeah. Yep. Whenever you have a top, you have to have a bottom, Kenny. Thank you. All right. What was the purpose of that class?
Why?
So you could sit home and... That's always a good use, but that's not the main use. That's true, too. But it's not the main. Kenny, what's the main reason for memorizing Scripture in any way? Oh, Ed, hold on. See, it's letting me down.
Witnessing.
There you go. That's the main reason. God tells us to what? Share him. What do we tear his arm off and take it out and eat it? Of course not. We share his word, right? Now, how can we share something we don't know? Right? First thing that's going to happen when you're out sharing is people are going to have questions. Now, if you don't have the answers, do you think they're going to listen to you anymore? I love running into some of these groups they have going around to the different places trying to witness. Shamefully, most of them at best have a little spiel memorized. But if you ask them anything that's not on their script, they don't know it. Now, if I ask somebody wants to witness to me, and I ask them a question and they don't know the answer, why am I going to listen to anything else? You're not. You just walk on and turn them off. We have to have the answers to most basic questions, right? What are some of the basic things that are prevalent right now? Homosexuality. What's the word say? Abortion, what's the word say? You know that's going to come up. Memorize some scriptures, right? Once saved, always saved, whatever. Memorize some scriptures that you know are prevalent and people are going to ask. You hear people talking. You know, why should I believe the Bible? It was just written by men. Do we have an answer to that? Some of the simplest things is all we need. But why we memorize the word is to take it out, right? So now, we're going to take a look at taking it out today. What we're going to do, I'm doing an introduction to the book of Acts. Why the book of Acts? You will see. That's where the word started going out into the world. I'm going to be followed up by four of our best teachers, and they're all going to speak about something relating. We're not going to go scripture by scripture like we do on a Thursday, but they're going to relate it to a theme, a person, something out of the book of Acts. And that's kind of what I'm going to talk about this morning. I'm not going to give you a line by line or anything. We're going to take a look at what is the gist of the book of Acts. First thing, if we remember, it was, of course, written by Luke. Luke, who was both a physician and a Gentile. So we remember how it's kind of coming from. And it's almost a second part of the Gospel of Luke. It's both are addressed to the same person, and one Acts takes off right where Luke basically ends, one of the Gospels, right? If there was any book that needed to be in the Bible, it's Acts. You could arguably say Just about any other book, you could almost take it out and you would be able to follow. Book of Acts, if you take that out, think about it. We have the Gospels, four versions, same story. Jesus ascends. Then the next thing is we got somebody writing a letter to a Roman city. Was the word fulfilled? What's going on? Acts is such a pivotal book. It takes from when Jesus left to the birth of in the beginning of the modern church. I love people saying, have anybody heard, wow, I'd have loved to have been there at the beginning of the church, right? Man, that would have been a time. You know, people would have been. Jerry's not here today. He might have been there. But let me tell you something. Let me ask you a question. How long ago was that? About 2,000 years, right? Give or take. How long is the church going to last? Let Donna say that to the tape, please.
Forever.
So, we've got forever. Give it to Pastor Don.
No, give it to Sammy.
Sammy. Oh, yeah, Sammy was kind of talking to me about that this morning. Yep.
Well, I've been doing my own study on, when Jesus said he was coming again and stuff like that, me and Ed, and I met with PD and stuff like that, and just, you know, studying what the Bible actually says. And there's been people in my wife's family who have said, no, I don't believe any of that. Jesus is coming back in 5 years. I'm like, why is that? Where does it say in Scripture that he's coming back in 5 years? And he's like, well, just look at all the signs. I'm like, what signs? Come on now, you can't just be making up a number. And Well, what ends up happening is you get in a lackadaisical lifestyle because you're just like, what's the point? Jesus is coming back in 5 years, so I don't really have to do nothing. It gives me no purpose to life because there's just nothing. It's going to end in 5 years, so I shouldn't do anything. So having the knowledge that the church is never going to end gives you a new sense of purpose that you have stuff you need to get done. And knowing that the church is going to, you know, grow and grow and grow gives you hope for your children, for your children's children, and for the future generations.
Amen. You're absolutely right. So if the church is going to last forever, that's a long time, right, Kenny? And it's only 2,000 years old. Revelation, you are at the beginning of the church. We are at the beginning of the church, aren't we? There's nothing that the apostles were doing that we shouldn't be doing. There's nothing the apostles could do that we can't do. They were just men like us, right? They were just people. The only thing was the Holy Spirit. Do we have the Holy Spirit? Then why aren't those things happening? They are happening. How often do you hear that? Well, why aren't things happening? Things are happening. If your eyes are closed and veiled, you're not going to see it. Jesus said that to people. Your eyes are veiled. You're not going to see. You're not going to understand until that veil is taken off. And shamefully, some people that are saved still have that veil on. But Book of Acts is the most important book as far as tying everything together. It spans, basically, we're going to be talking about a 70-year period where the church begins, of course, with what? The death of Jesus, him coming back, right? It's not the new church yet. It's the start of the new church. They're still going to the synagogue. They're still making sacrifices, right? So there's a transitionary period that the new church is taking off. And that lasts all the way up until Judaism, the old religion, was based all on the temple, all on the sacrifices, right? Everything was around that. That's where God was. That's where his spirit was. When that was destroyed in 70 AD, that was the end. The old is now gone, the new is here. But there was a transitionary period, and that's kind of what Acts follows. The transitionary period's over. The temple is gone. Is the temple gone? The old temple is gone. The new temple is what? Us sitting here. Absolutely. Absolutely. The Spirit of God was in the old temple. The Spirit of God should be in the new temple, right? Amen. There's one verse in Acts that I think sums everything up in the book. And, of course, we're going to take a look at that today. Acts 1:8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all of Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. One sentence explains forever. When is this going to stop? Let's take a look. Never? Let's see. Just out of this one simple sentence is telling us four main things that we're going to kind of witness and take a look at that permeates all through the book of Acts. And that first is the message will be spread. God's word will be spread. God's word will not stop spreading. Ever. Ever, ever. Never has, never will. Who did he give that job to? How's his word going to be spread? We're going to take a look at that. But the second thing, and this one's overlooked quite a bit, I think, is boldly. That's a word that's lost in a lot of churches, especially churches that are run by women, and it shouldn't be. Women can boldly spread the word just like a man. There should be a boldness in our women as they speak to other women, too. Right? It's not a manliness. There's a difference. A boldness in a woman and a boldliness in a man are different, but it's the same spirit. Boldness is not a prideful spirit. Right? It's not a haughty spirit. What it is a spirit of confidence, of knowing that we have the answers. I can stand in front of somebody if I know I have the answers, right? Go ahead. Grab the mic, please.
How do courage and boldness go together? And they got to go somehow together.
You're absolutely. You got to be courageous to be bold. You've got to step out somewhere to be bold, and that takes courage. Yes, yes. Give him back the mic.
I'm just kind of curious. Would you say that the fruit of courage is boldness?
Well, you could say that, yeah. Yeah, that would be one of the things. Absolutely. They run hand in hand. Yes. But that's one we often overlook when we're talking about the book of Acts. In any of the word, boldly. And we're going to see that in a minute. And the third thing that we want to see, the message will be spread, but the church will continue to grow. This was the start of the church. But you've seen how it started growing, right? When is that process going to stop? Never. Again. So again, we're at the infancy of the church. We are blessed in that. We're seeing the beginnings. Yes, sir. Ed.
Yeah, you know, that whole mindset is kind of revolutionary. Because so much of the church today, as Sammy was talking about, believes that it's all getting wrapped up, you know. And to think that, hey, there's future generations that we can still impact.
Yes.
That we don't understand the entire plan. We just know that God has told us that this thing's going to grow and grow. And so, you know, I mean, it really should motivate us even more to infiltrate all the different spheres of life that have been taken over by the secularist or Islam. You know, I look at, you know, that scripture where it says go and disciple the nations, and man, there's so much more work to do. And it's almost like we're just scraping the top of that iceberg. Who knows what's coming down the line, how God is going to be glorified in all nations. We see so many nations in poverty today, and we see war throughout the world and disease. Yes. And all that. And there's no doubt in my mind that Scripture, we're going to see a time of peace. That doesn't mean that there's not going to be sin and what have you, but it means that God's rule is going to so influence the world, man, it's going to be totally different.
Absolutely, you know? Absolutely. And that's what the Word is telling us. In Acts, often it's...
We got another one, Bob.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go right ahead. Freddie. I'm sorry, Freddie.
This, you know, saying that God's Word is going to spread, I mean, it kind of reminds me of a... something I heard on K-Love. The soldiers from Afghanistan called in right? And he was saying how him and his fellow soldiers, Christians, were going around talking to these Afghan people when he was there and he was receiving the word. And it kind of took me back to when they burned all them Bibles.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
You know, the army itself didn't want to offend nobody.
Uh-huh. So
they took all these Bibles and they burned them. You know, this was years ago. It just goes to show that you can fight against it, but you're not going to stop the word of God, you know. So,
if you're not in a war that God ordained and that God has given you direction and you're following that direction, you're not going to win. Plain and simple. It's as much a war of the mind as it is anything else, right? You win the mind over, you win the people. It's just like salvation. We could take a country over physically, but you have to be able to take them over spiritually to make that last. And that's what we need to be doing. It.
Oop.
You got to be faster, Ed.
Got to be quick, brother. Yeah, Iraq is a perfect example. Conquered them militarily.
That's right.
But there was no spreading the gospel, like we said. Our own leaders are burning Bibles because we didn't want to offend anybody. But I thought, how ironic. Here it is, the people that we think we're offending, now they convert, and they have no problem going into the villages and telling people.
Nope.
So God's word is never chained. The gospel is never shut up. Somehow, some way, it's going to make a way. Whether this country is going to lead it, and if we don't, watch out, you know. You know, but it's funny, God's sense of humor that he's going to use little bands of Christians in the Afghan army going around sharing the good news.
That's all it takes is little bands, isn't it? It only started off with 12 men.
I was thinking about what you said about being bold and being witnesses, and that's just it. We're all witnesses in a sense, but what kind of witness do we want to be? It's almost how I was thinking of being a witness is being on the stand. Half the time you have to treat Christians as a hostile witness because they're not going to let their light shine. They're a witness, but they're a hostile witness because nobody would know they're a Christian.
Absolutely.
By the way they act or live or by what they say with no memorizing the word and being able to speak the word, you wouldn't even know it.
Yep.
You know, so we have to also determine not only to be bold, but what type of a witness do we want to be? You know, and that's why it's important to know that word.
Absolutely. That's why this class followed Pastor Don's. And he's going to have a class after this one again. It's going to kind of relate to questions that Sammy had. Once you memorize the word, you spit it out, you have to be able to explain it too. And there's so much symbolism in the word that people do not understand. Some things that are not symbolic, they say are symbolic and vice versa. So we got to know how to interpret that and understand the difference, right? Just memorizing the word is not enough. That's the beginning. You have to have that. That's a base and foundation everything is built on. But then we got to start taking it out. But we have to understand ourselves what we're talking about. And that's what Pastor Don is going to speak on in a couple months. The fourth thing, we said this is the main gist of what the book of Acts is speaking about. First, and this one verse, Acts 1:8. The message will be spread. Is to be spread boldly. The church will continue to grow. And the fourth thing, all this will be done by us through the workings of the Holy Spirit. Nobody else is going to build the church but us. Why? That was the direction the Lord gave us, wasn't it? You go build my church. You go spread my gospel. Did that message, Sarge? When an officer, Lieutenant Jesus, gives us a message, gives you an order, how long does that order stand? Or forever? Forever. Or it's till it's... Or, say that again.
Officer tells you to do something, you don't question it. You do it until it's completed.
Absolutely.
Until he is satisfied.
Yep. Is that mission completed yet? So those orders are still in effect. The only way they can be changed is somebody of a higher rank comes and changes it. And I personally don't know of any higher rank than God. If you do, I'd like to meet him. I don't. God is the final word, right? Yes. A lot of times people describe Acts as the Acts of the Apostles. Heck, really, there's only three apostles. Well, if you count Paul, which wasn't an apostle at the beginning, it only really talks about two of the apostles. That's Peter, right? Is at the beginning, and that's it. It talks a little bit about James, but the only thing it tells is how he died. He was the first martyr, you know. Did James plant any churches? He didn't spread much of a word, did he? He wasn't around long enough. Why would we call him apostle? Sometimes I have trouble with some of the definition of apostle. Part of their job is planting church, but sometimes we think, and there was a teaching about that the only thing the apostle did was went out and planted churches. There's so much more to it. I think the best definition of being an apostle is like being a father. He goes out to these different cities. He's like a father to them. He raises up families within these different cities. Word says you got plenty of preachers, plenty of good teachers, but you're dying because of lack of fathers. That is a great gift to have, and that's a great ministry to have. But the very end of Acts, how it ends in Acts 28, verse 31. See, there's no end to Acts. That's why I love it. It doesn't end. Paul died. Paul won. Paul did this, right? No, it does not end. What it does is like it gives us like a continuation. The last verse in Acts 28. He proclaimed the kingdom of God and taught about the Lord Jesus Christ with all boldness and without hindrance. Right? And it leaves it right there. In other words, Acts is not over. Acts is still being written. Acts is still being acted out by us, hopefully. Right? What he did should be continuing. Boldly teaching about the kingdom of God and without hindrance. What can hinder the word? Only us stopping. Nothing else can stop the word in your life. You're not going to stop the word, period. Somebody else will stand up. But the only hindrance to the word is if we don't do it. That's our job. So don't hinder the word. Let's take a fast look at, first, the message will be spread. It said through Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, all to the ends of the earth, ends of the world. First, from Acts 1 through Acts chapter 6, verse 7, it speaks about Peter and the church in Jerusalem building up. You've got to be built up before you're sent out. That's what they were doing, building themselves up. Second thing, it said Judea and Samaria. From Acts 6:8 to Acts 12:24, it talks of the word being spread throughout Judea and Samaria, the whole area around Jerusalem. The third part, it said to the ends of the earth. Acts 12:25 through the very end, the one I just read, 28:31, talks about Paul going to Rome. At that time, Rome was the world. Rome had conquered most of the known world. So that is very symbolic, and they're doing just like they were told, the ends of the earth. Where Rome ended, they didn't know if there was anything past there at that time. That was the end of the world to them. But you know, the world keeps expanding, doesn't it? More people. We may not spread geographically, but we're spreading people that have not heard the word. There's people being born every minute, every second, right? Somewhere down the line, somebody has got to bring that word to them. So there's always a new frontier. There's no end to the earth unless there's an end to people. And that's not going to happen because the word says the world is never going to end, right? You don't need a helmet for when the comet hits. You don't need a bunker for Y2K when the world ends. And heaven help you if you're packing up for a zombie apocalypse. You know, come on. No, I'm sorry. But the fourth thing and to remember on this, too, is it's still happening. All of these things, that spreading is still continuing, right? Let me give you a couple quotes. Acts 4:4. But many who heard the message believed, so the number of men who believed grew to about 5,000. there. Look at all these overlaps. The message was being spread. People were believing. The church was growing. While Peter was speaking these words, the Holy Spirit came on him, came on all who heard the message. Again, Paul is speaking the word. The Holy Spirit falls on him. What do you think is going to happen then? They're going to go out and take that message. Acts 14:3. So Paul and Barnabas spent considerable time there, speaking boldly for the Lord, who confirmed the message of his grace by enabling them to perform signs and wonders. There again, they're spreading the word. The Holy Spirit is helping them. The church is growing. That's a pattern that's being set, was set. And it's a pattern that's continuing. There's no way that things have changed. We're still out spreading the word, right? Yes.
You said, well, because the world's not going to end. I thought when Jesus returns, the world's going to end. Is it going to end as we know it, or just is it gonna, now is it going to become what you heard, heaven on earth? You know, so when Jesus comes back, I thought everything's going to change the way
you Yes and no. Jesus is already back, and the world is never going to end. Do you have Jesus in your life?
Yeah, but is that...
Well, then how can you have somebody in your life that isn't here?
Faith.
He's still here. He's in your life, right?
Yeah, but he's supposed to come
is
back.
Is he real to you?
And he, like, maybe he's still a Catholic. I mean, he's supposed to come back. Everything's supposed to, you know...
It is. No. No words is ever... Show me some... Give the microphone to Pastor Don on that one, please.
Yeah, it's a very good question because...
Yes, it is.
In the church today, the mindset in most evangelical churches is, Sammy said, that the world's coming to an end, Christ is coming back. Does the Bible talk about Christ coming back? Most certainly does. Okay. He gave time parameters when his return would be. He said how it would be. But unfortunately, and this is why I'm going to be doing the class after the book of Acts,
yep,
to show how Christians improperly interpret the scriptures. And as Bob said, there's things that are symbolic or are figurative language, which is taken from the Old Testament and means something. And when we get to the New Testament, the same language is used, but we now put our interpretation on it. Okay? So, yes, we see all, every book in the New Testament, the book of Acts, they are looking for the return of Christ. Okay? But the way that he returned is not the way that the modern church many times teaches it. Okay? Many of us walked into the Christian bookstore and he's got a poster up there and Christ's on a white horse, riding on the clouds, coming back, and, you know, multitude. This is biblical language, okay, but not literal language. And there's a difference. So we'll get into that. That's a great question because we want people to understand that Christ is, Bob said, Christ is here now. He dwells in the midst of his church. He is here representative through the Holy Spirit, and that church is continuing to grow. Now, if Christ didn't come back, then he's a liar, and he's not who he said he was because he gave his disciples time constraints. And we will get into that when we do this class. It's too involved. Yes. We want to walk through it. We don't want to run through it, and we just don't want to throw it
That's
out
there. That's why Pastor Don is going to take an entire 4 weeks and more if he needs it to go through this.
But it will show you. And I'll give you an example. Bob gave in Acts here, chapter 1, verse 8, you know, going to all the world, starting in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the utmost ends of the earth. We take that like he's speaking to us. But the original context, if you go back there, he said that was what they were going to do.
Yes.
Okay, so they started in, we can't go to Jerusalem. We could if we go on a vacation there, or, you know, sightseeing. But that was instructions specifically for them.
Yep.
They got the ball rolling. Once they hit the entire earth, which, as Bob said, was the Roman Empire, didn't mean to Greenland or the United States or, you know, Central America. It was throughout the entire Roman Empire. And we'll show you why that's true and show you that we continue that process in the book of Acts, an ongoing thing. So, yeah, a lot of us that were raised, whether it was the Catholic Church, even in the Catholic Church, they don't believe that. And they teach, we used to do a prayer with those who were Catholic, you know, glory be to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit as it was in the beginning, as now and ever shall be, what? World without end, amen. That's taken from the New Testament, and I'll show you when we get to that class. Good question, though, Roger.
Yes,
you always pulling him out of the hat, man.
Yeah, he's always one step ahead of me. But no, that's our next step. We have to understand what we're taking out, and that's what Pastor Don is going to be doing for at least a month, right? Because it's something that we need to understand. Because these questions, if you're out, people are going to bring that up constantly. Believe me, and you have to have the answers. All right. We said the next thing was boldly. If we take a look in Acts. I'm just going to throw some out here. With great boldness, the Holy Spirit spoke the word of God boldly, speaking boldly in the name of the Lord. Then Paul and Barnabas answered them boldly, speaking boldly for the Lord. He began to speak boldly in the synagogues. Paul entered the synagogue and spoke boldly. He proclaimed the kingdom of God with all boldness. I could go on and on and on. How many times that word is used? Yes.
Apparently down in Texas, they had some type of Muslim convention down there, or something going on. And she got up, I don't know how she got the microphone or addressed them, but she said that Islam is going to be wiped off the face of the earth and Christianity was going to grow. I thought, man, that lady's got some, you know, some guts. I don't know. It might have been, I thought it was in Texas.
I believe that one was Texas. Yeah.
Yeah.
They had I think it was in New York. It might have been in Boston. One of them big cathedrals over there. And it might have even been Washington. But they was letting the Muslims do a Muslim service in one of these old Christian churches. And this lady, they actually, this lady actually drove up from like South Carolina to get in there. She says she was hiding in the bathroom, you know, and then she, you know, there's guards and everything, you know, waiting for people. She said some lady walked in the bathroom with a press thing on. So she started talking to the lady, and she says, are you part of the press? And the lady says, well, I'll follow you up. And she walked by all the guards following this lady, and she didn't know what she was going to say, but she knew she was going to say something, that this was wrong. So she ended up getting up and saying, this is wrong, you know, Jesus Christ is the only way, and everything. And she thought she was going to jail for sure. They escorted her out and told her to get out of here. So she, you know, she said the whole way she just thought she was going to jail and all this, but she was going to do it, you know. So
that's another theme through Acts. We see as Paul was headed to Rome, they passed him off from magistrate to magistrate, king to king. And every time he got in front of them, he was supposed to plead his case. You know what he did? He preached to them. I love the story. King Agrippa just threw up his hand and said, what is wrong with you? You think your life is on the line here, and you're trying to convert me. He basically said, yeah, that's my job. And he did all that. As he was going to Rome, we think is his final destination, but look how many lives he touched, the thousands, hundreds of thousands of lives, the churches that were planted. As he was just making his way to where he's supposed to go. Those that have had prophetic words, you know, I'm not there yet. Well, it's not being there. On your way, you're supposed to do these things, right? Every time you walk out that door, anytime you walk in a store, you take it over boldly. Look for somebody to witness to. Look for something to say. Right? All right, we're out of time here. So for the next 2 months, we've got four teachers that are going to come up, and they're each going to speak. Next week, it's going to be Ray, and he's going to talk about the story. One of my favorite stories, remember where Peter healed the crippled that had been laying there for years that everybody knew? And, you know, they've got him in front of the Sanhedrin. And this cripple's behind him dancing. And they're saying, well, you know, you can't do that. Are you sure? I don't know if this happened. The guy's standing there dancing. It's one of my favorite stories, but we'll leave that one to Ray. Who would you like to close us? We're going to close right now. We want to get a service. Amen? Why don't you go ahead? No, why don't you go ahead and close us and pray for that boldness as we go downstairs even. We can have boldness. We should have boldness in the house of God, too. Boldly come before God.
Lord, we thank you. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the word Bob brought forth, Lord God. Let us do as the apostles did, Lord God, and let us be bold.
Thank you, Lord.
Let us expect your spirit to come upon us in
yes.
boldness and in power,
yes.
Lord God. And,
yes.
And just as that same word was given to the apostles to go out boldly, Lord, let us pick up that same call and let us go forth boldly and let us go downstairs and enter into praise and worship and boldness in that also, Lord God, to proclaim
yes.
your glory and your majesty. And we just thank you in Jesus' name.
Amen. I think I'll leave you with one thing. Always remember to read the word. We hear how, like Pastor Don said, some of these things were just given to the apostles. We read the story about the Sermon on the Mount. Now, in the movies, they show Jesus walking among all the people, giving the word to the people. Read that. He pulled his disciples to the side and gave all those words just to them. Not that there wasn't overheard or anything, but those words were for them to carry out through the world.